Over with me here on set in Bedford is Charlie Hurt, opinion editor at the Washington Times and a Fox News contributor. He and I were on the big weekend show yesterday together, co-hosting, and it's great to see you again, sir.
It's great to see you. You just scared the bejesus out of me. When you said Concord, I was like, I don't even know where I am now.
Clearly, neither do I.
Right.
It's this been a long couple weeks.
It has been.
Because we were in Iowa together as well, and it is so beautiful here weather-wise compared to that. It's chilly here, but it feels like a day at the beach.
It was 11 degrees, which is 30 degrees warmer than it was in Iowa.
And tomorrow, I think, is going to be up in the 30s, maybe even 40, I saw. Yeah. So,
and the sun's out. But did you look at the snow? It's like perfect snowball weather. I mean, it's like starting
you
to
would.
Melt.
You would absolutely be thinking about that.
Oh, I challenge anyone to the parking lot for a snowball fight.
I would lose that to you, for sure.
I'm a terrible thrower.
I doubt that.
I make really good snowballs.
So you could maybe pack the snowballs and then hand them off to someone with a good arm.
Hand them to Elf, and Elf just goes.
Exactly. I have not done a snowball fight.
Oh, come on.
Maybe since ever. Like, I was the type of kid who was like, that's annoying.
You're a new dad.
Yeah, well,
you need to brush up on your snowball
skills.
I'm not
having a snowball fight with a two-month-old. We have to at least wait till he's, I don't know.
Do you want to win?
Well, I think, don't you let the kid win?
No! Oh, No. Not only do you, you beat them, so they know, because the greatest motivator
by which
is
you mean
to
defeat them.
Right. Oh, yeah, in a snowball fight. Yeah. But so that they know the taste, just so they learn how much they hate losing.
Okay.
Which is good. But the other thing, I have a friend of mine who's a marvelous father, and he plays board games with his kids. He cheats against them because he wants them to know that this is what the world does to you. It cheats. And so
that does not seem like great parental lesson giving.
I can't disagree with you.
So hang on. I just want to dig into this a little
bit. But he's
still
my friend.
Because you have raised kids. We talk about this sometimes. There's this balance, I would guess, and we're so far away. Like, he's just a delightful, adorable potato right now. He can't do anything. But as he develops into, like, being a sentient human who can communicate and that sort of thing, I feel like I want to not crush his soul by beating him every time and everything, but also want to give him that dose of reality that, hey, sometimes in life you lose, and you want to try to avoid that. You're just saying the best way to do it is just crush his soul every time.
No, actually, I think I agree with you. I think I agree with you. It's cynicism is like the worst thing for kids. If you destroy them to the point where they're cynical, it's
over.
Especially
at a young age. You want them to just
exactly.
have the magic of life for a while.
But they got to hit hard reality.
So a balancing act is what you're saying. So let's talk about hard reality. For me.
Kind of like Donald Trump Ron DeSantis learned
exactly.
a hard reality.
He did. And many of us who were not excited about Donald Trump becoming the nominee, I think in the back of my mind, I always realized this is going to be really hard. It's going to be a huge challenge for someone to dethrone Trump. Yeah. That's been clear now for the better part of a year. And I was talking earlier. I mean, once that indictment landed from Alvin Bragg and the polls moved the way that they did, I just felt like in some ways it was kind of over, and everything else was just moving the chairs around on the deck of the Titanic for these other campaigns, even though I definitely would prefer several of them over Donald Trump. You, on the other hand, I have never seen in my life someone who is more infused with joy by Donald Trump. And this goes all the way back to the OG, like 2015 days.
Yeah.
You just, a childlike smile comes across your face when he speaks. You are wildly entertained by him. Always have been.
I'm a gassy little potato. Every time he talks, I start giggling. I start laughing.
Yeah.
I think it has to do with the fact that because I've been in Washington for a long time and I've covered a lot of politicians and a lot of serious policy issues and stuff as like a congressional reporter. I covered the White House, and my disdain for politicians. Talk about the cynical guy.
Mm-hmm.
I have such contempt for what these people have done to our country that you bring a guy along like this, and it's just like, yeah. Well, you can't screw it up. And I kept thinking in 2015, a great bumper sticker, I can't say this, I don't think, even on radio, a great bumper sticker for Trump is, you can't screw it up. I would do it a little bit slightly different.
Yeah,
slightly different.
Got it.
But you can't screw it up, and it's not actually a bad. And actually,
what do you mean by that? You can't screw it up.
You can't do worse than what these people have done.
Okay,
$30 trillion in debt. A wide open border, which, by the way, as it's worse now than it's ever been. Mm-hmm. But you know, Democrats and Republicans have ignored this issue going back decades. It's been, you know, our entitlement programs are on the brink of collapse.
Although, I mean, Trump is terrible on that issue.
Of course, absolutely. But to his credit, he doesn't claim not to be.
Yeah, no, he doesn't pretend.
He's a debt guy. He's like, he loves debt.
Yeah.
He doesn't care. And although right. he has made sounds like he's ready to dial it back a little bit. But I admire that, actually. And literally, you know, we don't, you know, Ponzi schemes are illegal in this country, except when it comes to our entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
Remember back when
then they're mandatory.
Right,
exactly. They're illegal unless they're mandatory on a vast scale.
And then George W. Bush comes along and says, you know what, I want to cut a little sliver of this away.
People lose their minds.
Let people, yeah, and everybody.
For the future, even. It's not even for current seniors.
And how many people in Congress who were filleting George Bush about wanting to privatize, what, just a little sliver of the, didn't have a 401k themselves. They all do.
Right.
And all George Bush was talking about was a little sliver so that everyone could divert some of their Social Security money into a private account that they would be able to control and Congress couldn't steal. And
if they had done that, by the way, we'd be in such better shape. They were absolutely wrong about what they claimed Bush would have done. And that would have been a great thing. And to his credit, he tried.
Yep.
But he never recovered from it.
And remember, in, was it 2000? Or I think it was actually before that. I think it was in 96 with Al Gore talking about the lockbox.
That was 2000.
It was 2000. So he was talking about the lockbox, putting the lockbox.
A lockbox. And,
yeah, and everybody made fun
Social
of him.
Social Security.
But that's what he was talking about. It was no different from what Bush did. But so what do? They do nothing, and it's on the verge of collapse. And so, you know, a guy like Donald Trump comes along, and I'm like, you know what?
You're like basically, these people suck.
Yeah.
And so let's at least be entertained.
Well, no, I also agree with a lot of his, you know, I think he's right, commonsensically right about a lot of things.
Okay.
I'm more of a conservative. He's, but he's more of a populist. I get a little, you know, I have my issues with that, but. So, I mean, that's, you know, and of course, nobody attacks him on the issues because on the issues, he's like got like a 70-80% platform support in the public.
I mean, but DeSantis tried, but people didn't care.
Yeah, absolutely. No. I love Ron DeSantis.
Mm-hmm.
I think the guy is fantastic. I would love to see him as president. The problem is, and, you know, you have to be able to win elections. You have to play politics.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been my frustration from the beginning about Republicans with Donald Trump, is that nobody looks at him and says, you know what? This guy actually does everything right that we suck at. Why don't we try to learn something from him? And it's like he's this giant howitzer that can knock down anything, and Republicans complain because it's pointed in the wrong direction. It's like, okay, well, why don't you work with it and point it in the right direction? But nobody in politics has the humility to sort of sublimate themselves and say, you know what? Yes, you have to put up with a lot of nonsense. Yes, you have to put up with stupid insults, which, again, I find enormously amusing. And
that stuff bothers me certainly less than, like, January 6th and that whole thing.
Yeah.
Which, okay, so let's talk about that. Not specifically, but the type of voter that Trump is going to have to win, let's say he's the nominee, pretty safe bet at this point. You know, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
I mean,
but
it's New Hampshire. They love to throw curveballs.
They do. But if you were betting.
But even if he loses here tomorrow, it's still.
Does that cascade into a Nikki Haley nomination? I don't see it.
It's like a slow death versus a quick death. Tomorrow could be a quick death.
Oh, wow. Okay, so let's just.
That's a campaign.
Let's say he's the nominee. There are many voters like you whose eyes light up like Christmas morning whenever they see Donald Trump. And he comes out there and he does the shtick and he's got the names and you're just giggling like a schoolgirl on set and you can't get enough of it. All right, so there are those voters, right? He's got them pretty locked up.
Guilty.
Then you've got other people who are kind of hate him, right? Totally hate him. They're just the exact opposite. They want to punch things and vomit whenever they see him. Then there are these middle people who kind of grimace. Mm-hmm. And even when they're listening to him, they're like, okay, I actually agree with that. And maybe he was better on that issue, actually. And I don't like Biden anymore, but gosh, I can't stand him. What do you think it could take for him to win back enough of those people to win the general election? Because to me, at least electorally, that's the biggest open question in this. Can he do that?
Yeah. So the first thing is, you know, in both times, he's a lot of people who voted for him didn't like him.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and you know, the reality of politics is that that's kind of the way it always ends up working. And I always think about it in terms of those people who do support, who support him or support his policies, as opposed to people like us, you know, who you know, spend our times, all of our time thinking about the candidates and thinking about the political process. But there are a lot of people out there, I think, who do. They will look at the reality of where their pocketbook is today versus 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. They'll look at – and the border. There's nothing more important than the border. I mean, it's amazing. Utah, and it's true among Democrats as well. So you know, when you look at the comparison between Biden and Trump, they will hold their nose and vote for Trump. Whether you're holding your nose or not, the vote counts the same. And I think,
and you're not. You've got MAGA perfume that you're huffing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, you're all into it.
I'm freebasing. Exactly. I'm doing I'm doing hairspray in the
just straight into the mouth and nostrils. Yeah. Do you care?
But there's one last thing that I think is important is that I think about those voters who for years have held their nose and voted for. And I know you don't like this, and I get your point about it, about the establishment candidates.
The establishment used to mean,
right? But had to vote for Mitt Romney. Mm-hmm. Didn't like him. I couldn't stand him back then. I the degree to which I can't stand. I voted for him. To my eternal shame.
I have never been more excited to vote for a ticket than Romney Ryan. I was so excited to vote for them.
I like Romney. I like Ryan at the time.
Bumper sticker on the car. Excited.
Yeah. But then there are other people who, like my dad, who had the McCain Palin on his pickup truck, and at some point in the 08 campaign got pissed off and went outside with the truck key and scratched out the McCain. So
it was just Palin.
So it just said Palin, but there was enough of the McCain at the first part of the sticker that everyone could tell he was pissed off when he scraped it off.
Mm-hmm.
But that's who people, you know, you.
He seems like a potential Trump supporter in that case.
Actually, interesting. No, not early on. He did not like Trump at all. He hated Donald Trump. And then he was a Rubio guy. Both of my parents were. And they live in Virginia, and the Virginia primary came along. And remember our debate in Detroit, I think it was, where the hand size thing came out. And my parents had been yelling at me for months about how much I love Donald Trump. And they were like, how did we raise such a moron, such a vile child? And all this kind of stuff. And so then the whole thing came out. Rubio gets in the gutter with Trump and does the hand size thing. And I came back, and right after that was the Virginia primary. And they said, oh, to hell with it. I didn't vote for Rubio. And I was like, really? After all this? Yeah, he got in the gutter with Trump. I'm not going to vote for him. I was like, really?
Did they vote for Trump?
I said, who did you vote for? And they go, Trump. And I was like, how did this happen?
It doesn't make any sense.
No,
much of it makes no sense. Like, oh, we love Rubio the whole time. Then he does one Trumpy thing, and now we're over him, and we're going to Trump.
Trump is a rage button. And people who are enraged by the system get to hit the button. And I think it's what we're seeing in the primary now, where you have, you know, there's all this reasonable arguments to make that it's time to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, nah, we're ready to fight.
They're just going to slam the rage button one more time, which I'm going to have to do if we don't take this break. I'm going to get the rage button from the producers. But Charlie Hurt, it's always good to see you.
Great to see you.
Washington Times, Fox News contributor, and we'll be on, I'm sure, together TV very soon. And thanks for dropping by the radio.
Yeah, good to see you.
Homestretch up next here from New Hampshire.
More of the Guy Benson Show live from New Hampshire next.